page 44, ACB Convention Report Part 2 by Jeff Tom and Donna Pomerantz. Because the vast majority of BC readers also receive the Braille Forum, which has published a thorough report of the 2010 American Council of the Blind Convention since the first part of this report was published, we will provide a shorter conclusion to this report than you're accustomed to seeing. As an aside, if you are a CCB member and not receiving your Braille Forum, please let either your chapter president know or call the CCB office at 800-221-6359 so that we can ensure that you're getting one of the benefits of membership in CCB. We begin with Wednesday's convention session, which had ACB Secretary Marlena Lieberg as its presiding officer. The proceedings began with a panel on radio reading services, which opened with remarks from Bill Pasco of Sun Sounds Radio Reading Services in Phoenix. He talked about the many new technologies being used by radio reading services and their capacities to provide services for far more users. As an example, when users can access such a service by a computer or cell phone, significantly larger numbers can be reached than through radio alone. Page 45, Mike Duke, ACB member and director of the Radio Reading Service in Mississippi, stressed the need for consumer involvement to help solve problems and, in some cases, to assist a radio reading service in surviving. Larry Turnbull, managing director of ACB Radio and the final panel presenter, discussed the growing collaboration between ACB Radio and Radio Reading Services. One of the highlights of every convention is a presentation by an NLS narrator, and David Hartley Margolin from Denver more than lived up to this billing. His indication that reading talking books was the most challenging and rewarding thing he has ever done just about says it all. There followed a topic that receives far too little attention in our community, physical fitness. Fitness instructor and ACB member Leslie Spoon led the group in stretching exercises. Doug Powell, a triathlete and ACB member from Virginia, gave an extremely fascinating talk on methods that people can use for fitness and resources that could be helpful. Perhaps the most important lesson from his remarks is that we just need to get ourselves started. Progress will come in due time if we just maintain commitment. Californian Ariel Gilbert provided tips on use of local gyms or fitness centers. Talk to manager and instructors to help design ways that you can use equipment and fully participate in classes. She also talked about one of her passions, that of rowing, and the use of accessible rowing machines. The panel concluded with remarks from another Californian, Elizabeth Tumagian, who operates a fitness center specifically designed for use by persons with disabilities. Wednesday's final speaker was a truly extraordinary individual, Aubrey Webson, Director of National and International Advocacy at the Perkins School for the Blind. He spoke about the United Nations Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, which was recently signed by President Obama, but which has not been ratified by the Senate. In this regard, he urged us to advocate for the inclusion in all U.S. foreign aid packages for aid to persons with disabilities. Page 46, after taking care of some convention business, Thursday session, presided over by Treasurer Mike Godino, began with a report from ACB's Executive Director, Melanie Brunson. She highlighted ACB's victory in the Social Security case for notices and other information to be provided in accessible formats, a case that involves several CCB members. Mr. Godino then gave his treasurer's report. Although we are in a far better position than we were several years ago, we must work quite hard to ensure that we remain fiscally sound while still able to provide the services essential to the blind and low-vision community. Next, Michael Garrett, Chair of the Board of Directors of ACB Enterprises and Services, a wholly owned subsidiary of ACB, gave his report. He discussed ACB's 7 thrift stores and the work to ensure that they can provide ACB with as much income as possible. Convention Committee Chair Carla Ruscheval reported on a number of convention items, including the work of so many on this convention. Her report contained the information that the 2012 convention will be held in Louisville, the 2013 in Columbus, Ohio. President Pomerantz and Jeff Tom, chair of the ACB Voting Task Force, conducted a test of the use of a secret ballot through presentation and a vote on a mock resolution. Essentially, we used the CCB paper ballot method. This experiment was performed in preparation for a potential vote at the 2011 convention as to whether to replace the standing vote with a secret ballot. Friday's session was devoted to internal business. Page 47. Elections were held for the ACB Board of Directors and the ACB Board of Publications. All the elected members of the Board of Publications were reelected. The two incumbent members of the Board of Directors were reelected, and three new members were elected: George Holliday of Pennsylvania, Janet Dickelman of Minnesota, and Alan Peterson of North Dakota. The majority of the day's proceedings were devoted to the consideration of resolutions. Although this report will not go into the content of all the adopted resolutions, we will mention a few highlights of special concern to those of us in CCB. Resolution 2010-01 directs ACB's Governmental Relations Staff and Environmental Access Committee to include in comments on public rights of way support for a requirement that at intersections where there are multiple accessible pedestrian devices, the audible signal phrase for each signal must be unambiguously identifiable with its particular crossing, and a recommendation that where digital voice recordings are used for accessible pedestrian signals, differing voices be used to differentiate parallel and perpendicular crossings, and the vibratory features making accessible pedestrian signals accessible to pedestrians who are dual sensory impaired be the standard in all locations where accessible pedestrian signals are installed. Resolution 2010-02, introduced through the work of Jean Lozano and other CCB members, puts ACB on record as not accepting the version of disability history that is being offered as truth by other organizations in the disability rights arena, and in particular the notion that the disability rights movement began with the independent living movement in California in the 1970s. It expresses ACB's pride in knowing that the genesis of the disability rights movement involved people who are blind seeking the opportunity to be fully included in our society. It further demands that every state that has passed laws that permit or require that disability history included as part of the curricula of elementary and secondary schools present the significant role played by deaf and or blind people in the disability rights movement. Page 48. The resolution strongly encourages each state affiliate to become directly involved with its respective state departments of education and categorically demand that the role played by sensory impaired people in the creation of equality for all people with disabilities be accurately and fully included in such training. It also instructs a national organization to seek funding and support for the development of a national curriculum framework that can provide to states clear and accurate information that can be used to implement these educational opportunities. Resolution 2010-04, originally based upon the adoption of a resolution by CCB, urges all public and private entities that operate fixed route bus and or passenger rail systems to establish clear written policies for implementing the ADA's requirements of making route designation and stop announcements, and when establishing such policies, obtain input from local stakeholders, including passengers who are blind or visually impaired and other passengers with disabilities who will be affected by such policies. It urges them to incorporate all of the recommendations that have been developed by ACB's Transportation Committee with regard to the policies that govern the calling of bus stop announcements. Resolution 2010-11, again based upon action taken by CCB, directs that ACB urge the entertainment industry to take immediate steps to achieve the following: increased and accurate representation of characters that are blind or visually impaired, more employment opportunities for professionals who are blind or visually impaired, an absolute prohibition on the portrayal of blind or visually impaired characters by sighted actors, and equal opportunities for actors who are blind or visually impaired to both audition for and portray characters not written as blind or visually impaired. It also urges state and local affiliates to advocate in a manner consistent with this resolution. Page 49, Resolution 2010-20, introduced by Chris Gray, puts ACB on record as regarding the repeated failure of Sprint to meet even minimal accessibility benchmarks as unconscionable and unacceptable. It directs the offices, directors, and staff to communicate our extreme displeasure with Sprint and demands that Sprint take immediate steps to remedy this situation by working with ACB and its Information Access Committee to develop plans that will lead to the availability of an accessible phone option for the many Sprint users who have remained loyal based on the promise made to them repeatedly that Sprint phones would be accessible. Resolutions concerning technology, education, the ADA, and other topics were also adopted. As a former resolutions chair, I would like to specifically acknowledge the fine work and contributions that our own Mitch Pomerantz makes in the resolutions process. The curtain fell on the ACB convention with the banquet held on Friday evening. If you have never attended an ACB convention banquet, you have missed quite a treat. They're always full of surprises, with lots of humor, awards, and excellent speakers. This one was no exception. In 2011, you will have an incredible opportunity. Join us for the best ACB convention ever as we celebrate our 50th anniversary. Convention dates are July 8 through 16, and the hotel is the John Esquaganugget Hotel Resort Casino. Rates are $87, single or double. Add $10 per each additional person in the room. Rates do not include 13.5% tax. You can make reservations by calling the Nugget at 800-648-1177. Be sure to tell the reservationist that you are with the American Council of the Blind, group code GBLIND, in order to receive the conference rate. Plans are already being made for a truly incredible week. We hope to see all of you there.